Welcome to the Fetish Show.
The Fetish Show explores kinky sex, adult entertainment, relationships, and BDSM lifestyle. Your hosts are fetish photographer and BDSM mentor, Dirk Hooper. He is joined by professional dominatrix and fetish model, Princess Zoe. And now, here's Dirk and Zoe.
I think you know what's gonna happen tonight. I'm all happy, thank you, babe.
Welcome to The Fetish Show. My name is Dirk Hooper, and I am joined, as always, by the Epicurean, Princess Zoe. How you doing, Zoe?
I'm doing great. How are you, Dirk?
I'm doing fantastic.
Are you just going to describe what the hell Epicurean means, or do I have to ask every time?
I assume that you would know.
No, you fucking did not. You know better. What's an Epicurean? That sounds like something somebody is.
It means you like fine dining and luxury items.
What? I do.
Epicurean.
I am. Okay. Where's the negative part to that?
Did you want some negativity?
No, but usually like some it's like 50% cool thing, and then it's like the other part is like some jacket shit.
The other part is just me.
All right. Oh, you're making shit up for Webster's Dictionary. Thank you.
Pretty much.
All right.
It's Hooper's Dictionary.
All right.
All right. Well, tell us what's coming up on this episode.
On this episode, we're going to be talking about geese. Yeah,
thank
baby.
Thank God. Finally.
And yes.
The geese update.
Yes, geese update. Geese Blitzer.
Call Wolf Blitzer.
And yes, more 50 Shades of Grey is in the news. And a follow-up to our robot fetish, tips for fetish models. That's going to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to enjoy that one. And an interview with feature entertainer and toxic goddess, Fawn Marie. She is a toxic goddess.
Awesome.
Yes, that's awesome. I can't wait.
It's exciting. So, can I have a drum roll, please? We don't have that.
I can beat on the table.
Let's talk about geese.
Let's talk about geese, baby. Okay, let's do talk about geese. As some of you may know, I have these geese that live in my backyard. Well, not actually my backyard. I have a lake, a small lake, pond in my back area. And there's these geese that live out there. And they're motherfucking loud. And they have some babies. That was why they were so loud, is they had some babies. And I was taking a picture. Like, I'm standing on the retaining wall, and I'm, like, looking out to the lake, and I'm taking a picture. And the mama geese, she gets off of the fucking eggs. She walks over, because I'm not looking. I'm looking the other way. She, like, walks up behind me, and she bit the shit out of the back of my fucking knee. I'm like, what are you doing, bitch? Get off me. And drew blood. Anyway, so they had some babies. So there's, like, little baby chicken geese running around. And so
they're pretty cute.
They are cute. I don't know where they went, though.
I don't either. Did something eat those things? I mean, where did they go?
I don't know. But the other geese are very mean, because what happens is when you feed them, the adult geese will come over and they'll take the food from the little geese. They don't give a shit.
They don't.
This food, back off. You're smaller than me. I don't give a shit.
Yes.
Yes.
You will throw it directly in front of the little bitty baby geese.
And the other big fat motherfuckers.
And they
mother,
will fucking
yes.
take that shit.
They will. They don't care.
I think what you're saying is that geese are assholes.
Yes. Canadian geese are motherfucking assholes. So y'all know that.
Your geese in particular are assholes. They're all fucking assholes.
When they started nesting on that little fucking island, okay.
They're indignant.
At 4:30 in the morning.
They're greedy.
All the motherfuckers were out there going, rah, rah, rah. I'm like, what the hell? We're waking people up and shit? And I was like, I had a guest. Actually, whenever they brought your stuff back down from Kansas City, the girl that was a guest in my house, she like gets up for there and what's going on? I'm like, I'm sorry, it's the geese.
Was that Janet?
Yes.
From Kansas City?
Yes. And one like flew into my fucking attic. A goose was in my attic.
How'd they get in there?
Oh, no. I don't know what it is with you
and the birds?
I don't know. Birds fly in my house all the time. And turtles, there's like turtles that come up. This big old turtle, like that, is walking up there. And I took pictures of him, and it was like, went into his shell. It's like,
I wish you could have seen what she just did.
Like that. Ink, ink. So anyway, that's geese update.
Thank God. And we've got some pictures of that.
We do have pictures of that. We have some video clips, but Dark won't let y'all see that.
Fetish pictures of geese.
Geese and BDSM. And they hiss at you. They go, and then they take your food. Remember when we were out there when we saw the babies?
Yes, but they want to be fed. They want to hiss at you and be fed.
I was hiding behind you, and these motherfuckers were coming up, and they were taking the food out of my hand.
Yeah,
I was like,
serious.
Dark! And you're like, I don't know. I don't want to go near
They're serious.
They are.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
Your ass. Anyway.
I like the little geese, but...
Yeah. And you know,
they're asshole adults are not so great.
And Kilt Guy is actually getting married out on Geese Island.
Wow, are you breaking that news now?
Yeah, yes, get married. Kilt Guy
out on Geese Island.
Kilt Guy around here. Is that true, Kilt Guy?
Geese Plissken.
It is.
All right.
There you go.
See, you heard it here.
He's going to be Geese Plissken.
They're going to kill him. Whoop your ass.
We're going to force him to wear an eye patch.
Why? You weirdo.
Because Snake Plissken had an eye patch.
Oh.
Help me out on this, Vanilla.
Yes, he had an eye patch.
Thank you.
Are you sure?
And he also had a tattoo of a cobra on his
chest. I was
going
to say,
chest.
Are we going to goose did. Tattoo his chest?
Yes.
Fuck yes, we are.
Oh, speaking of tattoo, you know, we're all getting little camaraderie tattoos. We're all going to get a little blue are star.
We?
Yes. Mm. All of us. Say I if you are getting one.
I.
See? Mm. You're not getting one?
Mm.
You're just going to say
I?
Maybe.
We don't want you to have one.
Where the hell am I going to get that?
On your forehead.
On your forehead. That's what I was going to say. Your fucking
exactly.
forehead.
Exactly.
Get it anywhere on you.
Okay.
You're a big dude. Get it on your ass.
I'm so not doing that.
We don't want you to have one.
I'm not putting it on my ass.
Fuck you then. Never mind. We don't want you to have one. Never wow. mind. No.
Wow.
Dirk Cooper.
I'm putting it on the end of my nose.
Dirk Cooper cannot get a camaraderie tattoo. I cannot believe you can just roll along with this. We could have just drew it on you and nobody knew a difference.
That's a good point.
That is. So make your next point then.
All right.
We don't want you to have no tattoo.
Well, our next point is that we went to TNT Burlesque.
Oh, hell yeah,
we took several people from our group there.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
We saw Apple Angels. Boobies!
We did. Among the rest of the crowd there.
And she has these... She has big... Fucking down pasties. Big old, because she got
does
big old, she got big old boobies, yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, her pasties. Well,
describe
first,
that in detail.
Okay. Well, her breasts are very large and in charge.
Right, yes.
Yes. And she danced to the song Video Games by Lana Del Rey. Oh my God, it was really fucking hot.
Which was very cool.
Yeah, and she had these big long eyelashes, like you could see them like way far
right.
to the nether land. And yes. and she had these then she took off her shirt and I said, holy shit, did you see the size of those pasties? I mean, she must have some big old nipples.
You think so?
I don't know. I can see that part.
We might have to get a second opinion on
that. We might have to pay her some dollars to get that
You
part.
Think so?
We might
dollars?
Have to. Dollars.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Dollars ain't going to cover it, baby.
No bills with anything. If they don't have zeros on the bills, I don't think she takes it.
Wow. Wow, interesting. Very interesting.
All right.
Anyway, we got the crew out there. We had a good time.
We did.
That was a couple weeks ago.
And we sang. We actually sang.
Yes.
Afterwards.
Right. There's a little karaoke bar at the front.
It
was at the Boom in Oklahoma City.
Yes,
and they have a little karaoke area there and stuff. And they had a pretty cool guy. What was his name? What's the DJ's name?
Blake.
Blake was really cool. He was the DJ up there.
And TNT's actually, they're going to be having another.
Shout out to Blake.
Yes. Thank you, Blake. Actually, TNT.
Word to your mother.
Whatever. Word up. Actually, TNT's going to be having another. Big event where they're dancing and big nipple pasties and stuff.
That's
true. In November, around the 1st of November.
And I think another one in September. Am I correct on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. September
with
14th, 15th, and 16th.
There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
I believe Apple Angel is actually going to be going out to Las Vegas.
Is that right? Is
yeah.
that is that confirmed?
Yeah, maybe so. I
All
think
right.
so. Is that All true, right. Apple?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she might even get a little bit of... meet for us out there, a little bit of footage or something, maybe some boobies.
She's going to do a little coverage for us out there
she
at the Burlesque
it.
Hall of Fame.
She
Is that correct?
It.
Yes.
Might as well chime in there.
Yeah.
I'm
Sweet.
Here.
Maybe take some pictures of some hot chicks out there.
Always.
And,
with big old
maybe
pasties
do some,
on.
Do some interviews with some people and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Very cool.
I'll
cool.
do what I can.
So that was cool. That was nice.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun night.
It was.
All right, so you're about to head off for Greece?
I'm going to the country motherfucking Greece.
Let me ask you a couple of questions.
Go ask.
Let me just off the top of my head, let me ask you these questions.
Yes.
Did you know that about a week ago, Greece had a $1 billion run on the banks? Did you know that? Princess
yes.
Zoe.
It was not just Greece. It was other countries involved, but yes, I did.
That's true. It was also in Spain.
Yes.
But you're going to Greece, which yes. is kind of the point.
I own a home there.
So They had $1 billion run on the banks.
People have taken their money out of
the
banks.
That is my first question.
Yes, I didn't know that.
My second question is, did you know that Greece at this time has no government?
I do know that. And I do know that they're having another election on the 17th of June.
Mm-hmm.
And
are you going to get in on that?
I'm going to try. I'm actually.
Do they check your ID over there?
They actually don't check anybody's motherfucking ID.
Interesting.
I'm actually going to try to be the president. I think I'd have to do
now that is interesting.
I just want to be the mayor of Larissa. Actually.
You might actually have a shot at that.
I might. I know they do not have a government. The only thing I'm worried about going to Greece is that they've had strikes before. And I was there, actually, when I lived there, they had a strike where they had no water, no electricity, no trains, no airplanes. You couldn't, nothing. For like a week, we had no getting electricity.
So all those things were run by like unions or something over there, and they just shut it down?
Now, see, I don't know about that. It's just, most everybody works for the government. I don't think they have any unions. They do have a union. It's mandatory to be a part of the union.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't work like our union.
Workers of the World Unite.
Yeah. So I what I said is if anything happens and I can't get out of the country, what I'll do is, because they're not violent people. I mean, they tear their own shit up, but as far as like, they don't have guns or anything like that.
As long as they don't tear your shit up.
They don't tear my stuff. It's right. Their shit, my stuff.
Of course.
So anyway, what I'll do is I probably won't be able to get into Turkey because I don't fucking like the Turks, but I like the Turks. But anyway, I'll probably go into Sofia, Bulgaria to try to get out if anything happens. I'll get someone to drive.
That's your plan?
What other
Bulgaria.
Plan? Is there another plan?
Is that a good plan?
Well, that's right on the border, yeah.
How about Italy or something?
Honey, well, I'd have to go across the water. I can't do that. You don't just go into Italy. So you'd have to get a boat, row your boat over there across. So Greece is
well, I mean, we're showing my ignorance of geography right here, but it's not connected to – what is Greece connected
Greece is
to?
Macedonia, Bulgaria,
wow.
And then Turkey.
Those are real shitholes.
Yeah. So they're not part of the European Union. None of those three countries are part of
none
the European
of that's
Union.
I guarantee you that the toilet paper is terrible in all those countries.
Yes, and so are the toilets. It's actually just a hole in the ground, and you go in there, and you have to pee like that. So, and I took a train into fucking Istanbul one time. And on the train, apparently at the back of the train, they just have the bathroom that just has a hole in it.
Oh.
And I didn't realize that on the front of the train, they had like a real bathroom. So we were going back there. And there was even, oh my God, you got to hear this. There was a lady who gave birth. And this is the truth. It was in Turkey. She gave birth going down the tracks. Her fucking baby fell out on the tracks.
Oh.
And this is not like, you could check this on Snoops. I'm not kidding you. Fucking had a baby on the tracks because it fell out. So there's a hole. Anyway.
That doesn't really sound good at all.
So these three countries are not European Union. But I would go into Sofia, Bulgaria, and probably get a ride.
So that's where we can find you, is in Bulgaria.
So, well, until the airport's open, or I'll just be stuck there. So.
That's wonderful.
In Souvlaki.
That's fantastic.
In Souvlaki. Anyway, yes, I'm going to Greece.
What's the feta scene like in Bulgaria?
Actually, it's not too bad. I have.
You may have to report in on that.
I might. Athens has kind of got it going
via carrier pigeon.
Whatever.
We've got her live on carrier pigeon.
Whatever.
From Bulgaria.
Well, you know what? I'll just tell them to get word back to my fucking damn geese over there.
That's good. The geese connection.
The geese connection.
Yeah. That's good. We've actually got something else to talk about here, but we're going to wait until next time. Let's go to the Fetish Show News.
I am Princess Zoe. You are listening to your dominant source for fetish news, kinky events, interviews, advice, and reviews. This is The Fetish Show.
All right, first up tonight in The Fetish Show News, once again, 50 Shades of Grey.
Once again.
We'll
hear about it.
I think you better be ready for this because it looks like it's going to take over the media for about the next 6 months.
At least our media.
Well, yeah, definitely us, but it's also taking over the mainstream media, which is why you just about can't get away from reporting.
How many articles do we have here?
We got 140 articles. This is actually it's going to take 12 hours to get through this.
All right, let's go.
All right. In the first of the trilogy, 50 Shades of Grey, the 21-year-old Anastasia Steele has a fateful meeting with her hero, the uber-rich, sinfully sexy entrepreneur Christian Grey. The only catch is that Mr. Perfect is a bossy dominant who likes to whip women into submission. E.L. James may have unwittingly tapped into a primitive and primal urge in women around the world to hand over control between the sheets.
Wow.
British author E.L. James is shocked that her shocking tale has unleashed this tidal wave of interest. Sex shops have reported a boost in sales. Bedroom habits around the world are changing. Sexperts and feminists are getting their knickers in a twist.
I'm a sexpert.
You are a sexpert.
I am.
The author says, quote, "I never expected this type of success. I'm overwhelmed. Women mail me to say that it's a page-turner and they've made their husbands read it. Submissives get in touch and say, I want to do this." So how does she deal with women who tell her that it has changed their bedroom habits? Quote, "I think people are up for a bit of play. It can be very arousing. As long as it is safe, it brings a bit of change in the bedroom," she says. Some reactions to the books about sexual power play say that they are anti-feminist. She shrugs it off. Quote, "I don't agree. They have empowered a lot of women in the bedroom. Those who say that may not have read the books. Those who have read them will know who the power really lies with," unquote. In a way, though Christian is self-contained and cocky, he is damaged goods. The power struggle and the idea of rescuing her man keep the delicious tension of this plot going.
Hey, you know what all battered women have in common?
I do, but go ahead and say it.
They don't know how to keep their fucking mouth shut.
Oh, my God. That is wrong.
I know. It's so bad.
That is so wrong.
That's kind of funny, though.
That's okay. So terribly wrong.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry about that. Okay. It came to mind.
Ah, yes. Very good.
This is a good story. I think that you need to, like, read the whole thing and do cliff notes on that out there, put it out there.
I've read the first chapter of it. I'm going to reserve judgment until I read the whole doggone thing. I'm going to be doing it pretty soon. I mean, I have to read it.
While I'm in Greece.
We're going to talk about it. Exactly. I'm going to cure cancer during that time, and I'm going to create a rocket ship that will take you to the moon
to
and
Mars.
Back. I'll be doing that as well. And I'm also going to be writing a comic story for Vanilla Wilson during that time. And the Great American Novel.
Vanilla wants it in
the post 9/11 Great American Novel. I'll be writing that as well because I will have a lot of free time on
Vanilla
my hands.
Vanilla wants it in the butt.
That's all I'm saying. Ooh. Can we get a Vanilla Wilson, you want to?
That would be a negative.
Oh, okay. I guess not.
He's lying.
All right. Our next story is from The Frisky, and it's written by Jessica Wakeman, who writes, Dr. Drew Pinsky is utterly clueless about bondage, dominance, and sadomasochism in relationships and has no business discussing them on national television. She says, that is my conclusion after Dr. Drew brought in as an expert on the Today Show recently to discuss the book 50 Shades of Grey. As you may have heard, the explicit erotic BDSM romance novel about a dominant-submissive relationship has become extremely popular with women across the country. Dr. Drew said, quote, 50 Shades of Grey is actual violence against women. I have to tell you, this is the part maybe I'll get heat for, but there is a lot of violence against children in this country. There are various kinds of physical abuse. People subjected to those experiences are especially aroused by these images. I'm not saying the average woman can't be, but it's especially arousing for them, unquote. Princess Zoe, you want to chime in on what Dr. Drew said?
Number one, it's conflictual. Number two, what the fuck? I guess somebody knows what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah.
Why didn't they ask us? What the hell?
Well, exactly. I mean,
children. Why did you just, like, throw children out there? Like,
why? Yeah. Where does he get off comparing consensual, kinky sex?
And it's on children in there?
Between adults in a fantasy novel to actual violence and violence against children?
What the fucking hell?
What the fuck is that, Dr. Drew?
Come on, man. Because they got somebody to give a report on something they didn't goddamn know any motherfucking thing about.
Clearly.
That's silly. Not that Dr. Drew doesn't know shit about other shit, but stick
no,
to what
mostly
you know.
He mostly knows about alcohol and drug dependency.
Okay, and that's important shit, but stick
absolutely.
To what you know.
Exactly. It doesn't mean he's an expert on every fucking
thing. I mean, even
thing.
Dr. Ruth is like, well, hey, I don't know not about it, so I don't practice it.
Well, we got on to her a little bit, because she said that she wouldn't treat them, but she also didn't make any value judgment there.
No.
She just said,
I don't understand it.
Right. She said, I don't understand it, so I'm passing it on.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with saying that.
No.
Not at all. So I wouldn't get on to her about anything. She might whoop your ass.
She might put a bullet in my brain pan.
That's right. No, I think they need to get somebody else knows what they're talking about.
Well, clearly. Apparently there was someone else on the show, on that particular show, that actually was a lot more supportive. But, I mean, this is the sort of thing that we talk about constantly on the show, which is, psychology and sociology and therapy that is kink-based versus kind of this old-school paradigm, which we have to deal with people like Dr. Drew and basically the majority of the psychiatrists that are out
there.
This
is not even an issue of being supportive or not. It's being uneducated and uninformative.
It's ignorance.
Have you read the book? Number one is what I want to say, Dr. Drew.
Right. I mean, it's just wholesale ignorance. You're absolutely right.
Anyway. Wow.
Yeah, I think that's pretty amazing. Anyway, we are going to actually be talking to someone, and we'll follow up on this soon. But we're going to be talking to someone about this subject, which is about trying to train and educate the psychology and therapist.
Oh yes, we are. That's coming up. Yeah.
I know that you had a discussion with, and we'll talk about her at the end of the show.
Yeah, Jasmine.
Yeah, Jasmine St. John. Yeah. We're going to be talking more.
Who
and
is
more about
a licensed clinical social worker? I believe so.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
All right. They're looking for a few good dominatrix, Princess Zoe.
A few?
Just a few. Well, some people are looking for
Houston,
more than just
maybe?
A few. Yeah, it is in Houston.
It's my hometown.
From the Houston Press.
All right.
Patrons of Numbers, the place is called Numbers, probably recognize Domina Shannon as the busty, perky bartender who's always ready for a drink and a smile. However, when she's not slinging gin, she's swinging a riding crop as part of Maison Noir, Houston's preeminent BDSM dungeon. And good news in this economy, they're looking to hire a couple of people who don't mind dishing out a little discipline.
Well, how much are they paying?
I imagine they pay pretty well, actually.
Well, if they're dominatrix working in a dungeon, they're probably getting a 60-40 split, and they're probably $250 an hour, so they're probably getting 40% of that.
That ain't bad. That's not bad.
Not bad money. Not that I would know how much they get paid.
Right, yeah. You wouldn't. I mean, what do you know about it?
Not a damn motherfucker thing.
Domina Shannon says, quote, I feel that the most important thing to look for in new applicants is a true interest in BDSM. Anyone can read the books and learn the techniques, but if you lack a genuine interest in the arts, they will always come through when you play. Maison Noir started out as a simple one-room space in the Galleria area in 2010. Do you know what's the Galleria area?
Galleria area is actually really close to the gay area of Houston, near the Montrose area. It's a very nice area.
Yeah.
The Galleria is a huge mall. It takes up about three blocks. It's three buildings. But
okay.
It's a very famous area. But anyway.
Apparently now they host a multi-room facility that serves as one of the few full-time dungeons in the city. The facility is outfitted with many pieces of bondage furniture, and I could list these off. You can imagine what it is.
Yeah.
Quote, being even a small part of someone's journey to self-expression is very uplifting and empowering for the clients as well as the staff.
Sure.
Said Shannon's colleague, Mistress Friday, quote, finding the right domina you can trust to be your guide and controller in the many realms of DS play can be daunting. That is what we offer at Maison Noir, and it is a responsibility we take very seriously.
Well, you know, Houston is the third largest city in the United States. They got a huge amount of people there.
Is that right?
Yes, it is. It used to be fourth for ever and ever. But I like the comment, looking for someone with an interest in BDSM, not lifestyle or non-lifestyle, but
sure.
An interest.
Sure.
Because as long as you have an interest, it doesn't say you have to be experienced. It doesn't say you have to be, if you have interest in something, you're going to learn.
Right.
So.
Exactly.
So that's good. Anyway.
Friday followed up saying, quote, dungeons provide an established source for fetishists and submissives seeking professional domination. The interests and fantasies that are pursued within our facility are evident within most of us to some degree. How else can you explain mainstream society's ongoing love affair with fetish attire and the mysteries of a dominant slave relationship? This lifestyle exists, and not providing places where people can indulge safely is only going to drive them to dangerous experiences, and no one wants that.
No one does. I mean, I like the fantasy part of that because it's part of what I do. I am a fantasy consultant, which is a caveat to domination. But there's a lot of fantasy stuff that also goes along with it, but it is a caveat. So anyway.
Well, I imagine that you can sympathize with what they're saying and how not only does it feed clients, but it also feeds you in some way, right?
Well, exactly. Oh, yeah, definitely. Anybody who practices BDSM gets something from it. I don't care if you're lifestyle, I don't care if you're not, I don't care if you're professional, I don't care if you're not. Anybody who practices it gets something from it.
Yeah.
Even if you don't know anything about it and didn't know that's what you were doing.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah.
And most importantly, in this economy, they're hiring.
Amazingly.
Femdom is hiring. How about that?
Yes, and I would like all you girls to know who's going to get jobs there. You cannot have more than 7 insertables on your
person. Oh, my God, you got that in here, too. Holy cats.
Just want you to know.
Holy cats. All right. Finally, again, my favorite story of the week. It's, once again, the convergence of many things that I like.
You're so weird.
I know.
That's what I like about you, though.
From robotic vocal cords to robotic lips, Japan has made a variety of robotic body parts.
Only Japan.
Over the years, they love robots,
yeah,
in Japan.
Yeah, they do.
But one body part has always been noticeably overlooked, and that is robotic ass. Not anymore. Enter Shiri. In Japanese, Shiri means buttocks.
So the word Shiri means buttocks.
That is correct.
All
Put
right.
that in your lexicon.
And that's her name. The robot's name is Shiri.
Right.
Her
well,
name is
the,
ass.
The robot is just an ass.
What?
And this robot is a buttocks humanoid that represents emotions with visual and tactual transformation of the muscles.
Wait, you just said the robot's an ass.
Yes.
Only an ass, he doesn't have a face.
Only an ass.
What?
That is correct. The goal of Shiri is supposed to express, quote, the various emotions with organic movement of the artificial muscles, unquote. That's fancy talk for butt movement.
So just a butt, like what? The butt?
Shiri
is it walk
tenses?
Or, you know?
No, it just sits on the table. It's a butt that sits on a table.
Okay, cool, I guess.
It is a butt, is a robot butt.
Is it like a butthole?
That sits on the table. I'm not so sure about that. And tenses up like butts are supposed to and is able to detect your touch, stroke, and your slap.
Like butts. Look at vanilla in there. Like butts are supposed to.
Yes.
And vanilla's in there dying.
You can slap this robot ass. That's what I'm talking about.
Man, I don't want just an ass.
Robot ass slapping. It's here today. The future has arrived. We've absolutely, forget flying cars. Forget teleporters. We have fucking robot ass. Right now.
That's just weird.
We have that now.
I like a whole robot.
You want the whole robot?
I'm going to tell you who invented something like this. A man. They compartmentalize shit.
Yes, I believe his name was Takashi.
Just an ass, just a face, just a boob.
Yes.
A man.
Yes.
I want to see the whole deal.
You might be able to fill the whole room with the different parts, but it's not all in one place yet. They haven't worked that out yet.
I don't know. What?
They haven't worked out a robot that has all of the parts together.
You don't
yet.
Know. They're just keeping it from us. It's a conspiracy.
You think that maybe Dick Cheney has that in his basement somewhere?
I think he invented it.
All right. That is going to conclude the Fetish Show News. And up next is the Wheel of Fetish.
And now it's time for
Wheel of Fetish.
This is Princess Ellen, and I'm your hostess for this evening's Wheel of Fetish. And tonight we have a contestant on our show, and it's going to be Vanilla Wilson. Hello, Vanilla. So we're going to spin the wheel here.
He's very excited.
He is. He's like, aren't you psyched?
I'm just
beside myself.
He's going to be competing against you, Dark.
Is he?
Sure.
He will lose. I will defeat him. I will break you.
Okay, so Dark Cooper and Vanilla Wilson go up head-to-head, toe-to-toe on this evening's Will Fattah Show. Let's spin the wheel and see what it lands on this evening. And it looks like it's going to be hands on the hip fetish.
Yay.
Yay. All right.
Wow. Wow.
So let me just tell you what this fetish means.
Please.
Hands on the hip fetish. Hands on the hip is a type of hand partialism. They're still laughing over there. Which means the attraction to a specific hand action performed by the hands. Oh, I said that wrong too, but anyway. An attraction to a specific action performed by the hands. There, I got it out that time. It's very hard to explain. The presence of a fetish site devoted entirely to women posing with their hands on their hips, standing definitely and angrily in a way that so many mothers do when their children misbehave. Somewhere deep in the psyche of the site's creator, he desperately wants to find a mother figure who will discipline him with nothing harsher than a little time out and denial of television. But this just proves that Freud is right. Something. We don't know exactly what.
Freud believes that all little boys want to sleep with their mothers.
That's because he wanted to fuck his mama. That's why.
I've never wanted to have sex with my mother.
I didn't either.
You don't know his mother.
I might want to have sex with his mom, but not mine. That was funny. You made it funny. So for the finale, there, Vanilla Wilson, tell us your opinion of what about this. I'm going to just stand up and show you. What about this? Does this turn you on? My hands on my hip.
Princess always doing the hips on hands fetish. Hips on hands on hips fetish. There.
Let me look mean.
I'm not feeling disciplined at all.
Wow.
Well, you don't get any TV.
Oh, my bad.
What do you think, Dark?
Well, I've got a couple of things to say about this.
Oh, I think Dark might win.
I'm a fetish photographer. Take a lot of pictures of dominatrix.
Yeah.
Some dominate. You know, even if you are a dominatrix and you do this for a living and stuff, sometimes it's important to make sure that they get the right look in photos. Mm-hmm. Because it's very different than, you know, whatever they're doing normally in sessions and stuff.
Right.
You want certain things to be present. Invariably, in every set that I've done with a professional dominatrix, other than with you, I've shot you with you many, many times. But anytime I want to get that kind of authoritative pose or something, I will always have a dominant put their hands on their hips.
And which is not exactly a modeling technique to have both hands on your hip at the one time.
It's not.
Because you want to break
Matter
up.
Fact,
you want to have one hand on the hip or one hand at a different
position. That is very
position.
True. That's very true.
It is true. And I was talking to actually one of our girls, and she had mentioned to me that when she's sessions sometimes, and she's got some people that she sessions with that have mommy fetishes, and they ask her, would you put your hands on your hips? You know, so
right.
There's something to that. So
sure.
I guess the whole persona and all that. So anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't get that.
So I think Vanilla's going to win this evening's. Thank you for being our contestant.
It's why I'm here.
Yeah. Why are you here? I'm just kidding.
He's our engineer.
Oh, yeah. We kind of need him here.
Unless you want to sound like Minnie Mouse or something, you better
Minnie
be
Mouse.
Nice.
I'm Minnie Mouse. Okay. So that'll wrap up.
Oh, wait a minute. Let's also say that there is a specific site that they're talking about.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Thank you, contestant number one.
You're welcome.
Okay. Yes, a specific site. Do we have that here? Hands
yes,
on,
we do.
Handsonthehips.blogspot.com?
Yeah, we'll make sure to run that on our post for this episode. handsonhips.blogspot.com.
Yes.
If you want to see lots and lots of pictures.
Hands on the hips.
Chicks with their hands on their hips.
Well, what about dudes with hands on their hips?
No, that doesn't count.
Why not?
It's not the same thing.
See, that's weird.
It is weird.
That's just weird.
It is weird. That's the way fetishes are.
They are kind of weird. But you know, it goes back to what I always say. Fetish develops at some point in childhood sexual development. And that just kind of points back to that as well.
So maybe Freud was right.
I don't know. He's fucking dead now, but so we can't ask him. But so anyway, maybe he's right. Maybe he's wrong.
There you go.
But I did think he wanted to fuck Vanilla's mother.
I think you're right. So did we all.
She does have a big rack.
Wow.
Damn.
Whoa, hey.
Wow.
See, Vanilla.
Interesting.
Damn.
Don't you share porn with your mother, Vanilla?
What?
It has happened on occasion.
Oh,
on accident.
Ooh.
She probably busted in.
Oh.
She said, "What's that noise? Mom, you're just jealous. It's the Beastie Boys."
Okay, wow.
Anyway. Wow. Okay. So, can I wrap it up now there, Contestant 1?
Please do.
All right. So that is your evening. That is your conclusion of this evening's Will of Fetish.
Contact The Fetish Show now by email at info@thefetishshow.com. Through our toll-free voicemail hotline, 1-888-506-0221. Or on the comments for this episode on our website at thefetishshow.com. We want to hear from you. And now, The Fetish Show Advisor.
All right. Up today on The Advisor, we have a letter that was sent to The Fetish Show from Brian in Dallas, and he wrote to us.
Yes,
saying,
this is a question.
Right, this is a question. He said, "First, I want to say I love the show. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
And all the info is very helpful in my first adventures in BDSM. I live in Dallas, and while listening to an older episode and in an interview, I heard Disturbathon mentioned. I can partially understand why keeping it underground is a good idea, but info can be found on the interwebs," he says, "about anything these days. Unfortunately, the only info easily available on this subject is from a website called TexasCult.com, informing people how this is a cult that is brainwashing your children. My actual question is that being a fairly new Dom, I haven't really got into the greater BDSM community in Dallas yet. Is this the general public opinion of BDSM? And what can I do to possibly clear any misconceptions about the lifestyle and the people involved in it? Thanks for the show, and any info would be greatly appreciated."
Well, thank you for that question, Brian.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
Yeah.
He sent that to info@thefetishshow.com.
Right.
And you can too.
That's my thing. Yeah. Yeah. So.
So what do you think, Princess Zoe?
Well,
I mean, he actually brought up a couple of points and then asked two questions.
Let's break it out.
All right.
And let's say what Disturbathon is actually every year at Halloween. And it is hosted by a cult. That is true. What your definition of a cult, whether you think it's whatever, it doesn't necessarily have to have a spiritual connotation to it or not. But this is the Branch Davidians in the greater Dallas area. And they have a yearly event. And it's by invitation only, so not everybody can go. But it is kept underground. And the information that you can find out, because they don't put a lot out, is usually the Christian sites that tell you about and usually caution you about the Disturbathon event. It's pretty sexual. It's a pretty risque event, but it is not BDSM. So let's differentiate that out right now. BDSM and Disturbathon are not the same thing. So let's separate that. So no, the general population does not equate BDSM to Disturbathon. So let's just say that. However, let me say this. The general population does not have a positive opinion about BDSM at this point in history. So, say that.
I would say I would have agreed with you wholeheartedly about 2 months ago, but I think that things are we've talked about it many times here in the last few episodes of 50 Shades of Grey. I think that when Dr. Oz says that it's the new G-spot, which is, you know, BDSM play, and when there are a couple of doctors from Canada that say that it's the cure for erectile dysfunction, and all of these moms across the land are reading this, I think that there is, it may not be the predominant public opinion right now, but I think that there is a sea change coming.
There's a shift. However, no, the general population does not have the positive opinion about it yet. And that shows up in tell your grandma, you know, and see what she says.
Well, right.
So, I would caution Brian too, to know that you will not always get a positive reaction. So be cautious on who you tell what to and keep your things private and personal. And so you might want to separate out a profile to have your main profile that grandma's on and another one that you maybe are on FetLife or whatever. So to keep it separate, keep your BDSM life separate.
Well, and I would say that for any sort of sexual practice, whatever it is,
sure.
You probably wouldn't want to share that with everyone.
That's true.
You know, it's not just BDSM.
But don't just expect that, you know, you can tell your boss or whatever, hey, I'm in a spanking ass and there might be a problem.
Absolutely. So, we are definitely not to that place
yet. We're not yet.
Yeah. Keep it amongst friends or your partners.
Sure. So just be cautious
for
about
sure.
that. And he asked, what can he do to help change the general perception of BDSM? Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about that? What do you think?
Well, I think that, being a new Dom, I don't think that anything replaces experience. I think you really got to put in the time. A lot of people want to just, go in it whole hog and know everything up front. You really have to experience it over a period of time. So my advice would be to just relax and seek out some information, both in books and maybe online, and also look for real life information. We have maybe a few suggestions of places. I mean, we happen to have quite a few contacts. We're pretty close to Dallas. We can talk about a few suggestions on maybe where he could follow up down there.
Yes. And I think that we need to also mention this is that what you can do to change perception is know your shit and be positive about it. When you do describe or teach someone else about it, is know what you're talking about and be cautious who you let mentor you. And leading into mentor, I think that a good resource for Brian in the Dallas area is Master Walker's program. Who he has a year-long program that it's a mentor program where they pair you up with someone. Each month you get a new person, and you mentor with them for that month. And this is a great way to learn and a great way to get into the community. So, and do we have the name of that there? If we don't,
we do. It's thecouncilofthetribes.com.
That's right.
Which is where you can find them. And there's another website that we can put on our post. So check our post on episode 30 for both of the addresses. But basically, you need to know that it's Master Walker. We had an interview with him on an earlier episode. And we may actually try to get in touch with him again because he's an excellent resource.
He is
excellent. He's right down there in Dallas.
And what Master Walker has done is when he was in the corporate world, he used to write training programs for his company. And he's brought that into the BDSM community. And he actually goes to different cities and he sets up these training programs where people in the lifestyle community can come. And he has based it after the training program in the corporate setting. And you come there and you are in the program for a year and you learn, A, B, C, and D. There's like a checklist of things you absolutely need to know. And you get to work with different people, so you get to learn different ideologies and theology on that. Now, I don't know that we have the information on this, but I will find it and put it up. But in your area also, too, you want to look for Mr. Jeeps. And what he does is, he is actually a gateway to the community. He has munches. And at his munches, he funnels you into your genre. So let's say you're into the T-girl community. Let's say you're in the, he perceives you're into the leather community or whatever. He will gear you and guide you into your group. So what you want to do is try to get into some local groups, but you want to get into the one that also
that's
represents
a good fit.
That's a good fit for you.
Can I say something?
Please do.
You say the word munch, and a lot of people may not know what that is.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
A munch is basically just a gathering in like a IHOP or something where it's a neutral, it's a non-threatening, it's usually a restaurant environment or something.
You're not dressed in your gear or anything.
No one's really dressed up. You have your own little room, and people talk amongst themselves. It's a good place to, get some information and
it's
talk
like
to people.
It's like a lunch.
Yeah.
And you talk about, learn some things and
right.
talk about.
I remember the first time I heard munch, I thought, what the fuck is a munch? That sounds terrible.
I thought it was like eating some pussy or something.
Right. Exactly.
But anyway. So anyway, that's the best advice. And some books.
We've got some books. And I think what we'll do is we'll just list those on the site if you're interested in that. I've got a couple of things I'd like to add to that. I think that you said you wanted to talk about maybe changing hearts and minds on stuff. I think it's important, particularly when you begin or really at any time. People typically either get it or they don't get it.
That's right.
And trying to make them understand is really kind of beside the point.
That's right.
So be careful kind of who you try to convince on stuff, because, you know, sometimes you're fighting a losing battle there.
That's right.
And you
did the right thing by contacting us. You know, if you need to know something, contact us. And if we don't know it, we'll find the information for you. So that's a good thing to do, too.
Right. Keep listening to us. And if you've got any more questions, then you can get in touch with us. Again, that's info@thefetishshow.com.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to add?
No. Did you have something else?
No, I think that's all.
All right.
All right.
Great question, Brian.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Brian, very much. And up next, we've got our interview with Vaughn Marie. Tonight we have adult entertainer Vaughn Marie. Welcome to the Fetish Show.
Welcome, Vaughn. How are you, sweetie?
Hi, guys.
Wow, beautiful girl. Sit next to me.
That's always the way it is.
I know.
Why is that?
Because I lay like that.
What's up with all that?
I like the hot chicks sitting next to me. Mm-hmm. See, she said,
Well, Vaughn, tell us a little bit about what you do.
A lot.
You do a lot.
I do a lot.
What more needs to be said?
All right. Well, thanks for the interview.
Okay. See you next time. let's see. I got into pole dancing about 4 years ago. I got into pole dancing to be an instructor, and since then it has opened up many doors for me. I now enjoy to perform for adult audiences. I like to do competitions.
And she's won a bunch of damn titles.
Yeah, I have.
These competitions.
Won a lot of titles. But my boobies have won more titles than I have.
Well, they should.
Just your boobs?
Those are nice.
Just my boobs.
These are nice titties right here. I just want everyone to know these are nice titties right here by me. And they won their own awards.
We should probably run some pictures on the site. What do you think about that?
I think so. Vaughn Marie's boobs.
Yes,
right.
You should.
Right.
They should have their own zip code.
Well, their own zip code?
Not that they're not so enormously big, but they're
D's.
They are a little ginormous. Let's talk about these titles here. We got, like, you want to read those off of there? Or tell me, you know by heart.
Well, I've been competing for 2 years. The first title I won back in 2011 in Texas for Miss Pole Champ South Region. That in turn sent me to Florida for Nationals. I got Hottest Body at Nationals.
And all these are in 2 years, by the way.
Yes.
Hottest
Body. In 2012, I won again Miss Pole Champ, this time in the Southwest Region. And I got Hottest Legs at Nationals.
I got Hottest Body in 1974.
I think she could get Sexy Voice Award, too.
I agree.
Wow. All this for pole dancing.
Those are from pole.
That's
so what exactly?
Hard.
So what exactly do you do at these things? You show up and you compete against, like, how many different
titties.
Other contestants?
Oh, it varies. I've done one as small as 4 contestants. And
really?
I've done, and then up to, like, I think 14.
Wow.
Different contestants.
What's the process to get into to where you're championship level? It's pretty hard, isn't it? It's not like you just show up and I'm dancing on a pole.
Oh, yeah. It's constant training. What I would like to do, my ideal training would be to come up with a choreographed routine a month in advance and practice that choreographed routine for a month. As it is now, I really go off about a week. 2 weeks.
Really?
Look at this butt.
I'm busy.
So you're
winning these competitions with 1 week of preparation.
Well, no, I have 4 years of experience. So
right. Well, of
I
course.
Do have a
I mean, that's
bit
the
of
way.
But the dancing part and all the actual routine part.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think you should show us your butt. I was checking it out earlier.
You really want to see my butt?
Well, I kind of do. Oh, wow. That's nice.
Princess Zoe doesn't realize that this is an audio.
Yeah.
I just like everyone to know that I touched Vaughn Marie's booty, and it was very hard and firm and nice and up there.
What got you into pole dancing?
Oh, goodness. The honest truth was I was married to a roughneck, and I had a baby at a very young age.
Right.
to me, it was young. I was 23.
Explain what a roughneck is. I'll explain what a roughneck is. That's an oil field guy.
Yes, that's an oil field guy. He was home for a week and gone for a week. So I was trying to be the model wife and, you know, stay at home, take care of the baby, and I lost my sexy. Long story short.
Aww. Yeah.
I did.
Well, you got it back,
so
baby.
I most certainly did.
Yes, she did.
And I got it with pole dancing.
Right.
And it's taken me in a lot of different areas, not only with competing for pole titles, I also model.
Tell us a little bit about that.
My modeling?
Yeah.
Let's see. My favorite shoot that I've ever done happened to be with Dirk.
Dirk.
Yes.
Imagine it.
He had a rope artist. What is that called?
Shibari or Kenbaku or just Japanese rope bondage.
Yes. And he would tie us up, the models, and he was so fast. We just had to hold still. And he would tie our entire body up with these different knots and wraps. And then there was this one where I hung from the ceiling, and that was really awesome.
I have a picture of her in there in my front room. Did you notice
that? Yes, you do.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it was fun.
That was, by the way, that was Master David M.
That
did that.
Oh, wow.
Which we interviewed. We interviewed him in an earlier episode around episode 8 or something. We'll look that up and make sure to post that. Fawn Marie has done a lot of really great photos with me and also with Princess Zoe.
Yes, she has.
During my Candy Chrome show.
She was at the Buck Angel event. Buck Angel.
Right, of course. Yeah, thank God we got Buck Angel into this. We never mentioned that guy.
Yes, I did get to meet Buck Angel. I was actually one of his dancers that night.
Oh, that's right. She got to perform with the Buck
that
Angel.
That was great.
Yes, that's
she wasn't
very true.
One of the performers. She performed with Buck.
Yes. Very true.
Yes, that was true. Yes, it was.
Well, so during Candy Chrome,
let me get my dollars out.
The biggest piece in there was a piece with Princess Zoe and Fawn Marie.
Yeah, piece. Mm-hmm. Let me say he's a piece.
He did say piece.
Like piece, bro.
I'm just saying you're the biggest piece there.
Wow, I'm very proud of you. I like
Thank
to say, you.
You
know what? Somebody that's had a baby and lost their sexy, because I think women generally, we lose our sexy for a little time there. Mm-hmm. Something happens. I don't know. We go through a little bit of depression or whatever. But,
sure.
But, man, you didn't just get it back. Hot damn, you got your shit back, mama.
I've been through a lot as well.
You have. You have, honey. And so I'm very proud of you.
I mean, people are going to be looking at your photos. Do you do anything besides pole dancing, or is this really just pole dancing?
Oh, yeah.
It goes to events with me.
I keep my doors open. I keep my doors open. If some kind of proposal comes to me that I feel is prosperous, I will take it. Like I say,
That's
the modeling
the
came
piece.
From pole dancing.
No, I understand that. No, what I was asking about is as far as your training to get the body that you have, is that pure pole dancing or do you go work out in a gym?
Oh, no, I do work out in gyms. I do weight training. I also run. I've taken up running.
Right.
That's why I look the way I do today.
There you go.
You know what? Fawn Marie actually danced at a party that we had, and we set her up, and she had a pole, and I decided I was going to learn to touch the pole. I don't think I'll be doing that again.
That's as far as you went with that, huh?
I mean, that's about it. She's like, well, let me tell you how to just turn her, you know, do a little circle here, and I'm like, oh, my fucking God.
You should do that.
That shit's fucking hard. You should do it. Fuck me down.
No, that is ridiculous.
That is why I do it.
You know what? And it changed the way I saw stripping, which is I think is beautiful, and nothing against strippers or not. I'm just saying stripping is something different than pole dancing, in my opinionation.
Sure.
Because you really – doing pole work is not the same as stripping. You incorporate stripping into pole work.
Yes.
It's something different. Yes. And if you ever see someone that pole dances, you will see that they're not – stripper. Of course, next time, could you do that naked? I just wondered.
Most definitely.
Oh, thank you. Just wondering.
What's the biggest competition you've been in?
As far as the title that holds the most weight?
Yeah.
That would be probably when I won for Miss Pole Champion United States this year of 2012.
Cool.
I was also the same competition for Miss Nude United States.
We're actually nude?
Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What's next?
And I came in second.
I'm sorry.
For that.
That's cool. Very cool.
Well, we'll find out who's first. We'll beat her up.
So, tell us what you got coming up
next.
Yeah,
what's next, honey?
Okay, in July, there's a festival called Nudes a Poppin', and it's a national thing. I absolutely love Nudes a Poppin'. It's a two-day competition round, 3-day, including the after party. It takes place at Ponderosa Sun Club, which is a nudist colony.
Interesting.
So, naked people
can
everywhere.
Can I carry too? I carry your bag?
Yes, you can do more than carry my bag.
All right.
When is that?
July 21st to the 24th, I believe.
Good. Woo-hoo. And if you're interested in that, you can go to nudes-a-poppin.com.
And we'll put up all of her information.
Cameras are allowed.
Cameras are allowed?
Holy fucking shit. Dark, we got to go that.
Wow.
Be there.
That's spectacular.
We'll put up all of her information on the site so you can find her, the name of her titles and her websites and things like that. So find her. So.
And you're looking to book feature shows?
Yes.
Oh, correct.
I do have a couple agents. I also book independently.
Right.
So if I want you to dance at my next party, I can book you and have me come over.
Well, yeah, of course.
Or if you want to do
princess.
Or if you want to do modeling, right?
Yes.
You also book modeling stuff. And where could they get in touch with you?
Well, they can get in touch with my website.
Okay.
And we'll have that up on the website.
FawnMarie.com.
Okay.
Then.
You have an email address?
I do have an email. It's myfawnmarie@yahoo.com.
All right.
And we will be able to find all that on the website. So we will be able to find her.
Absolutely.
And call her and say, come dance at my party, baby.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or if you're a bigwig club and you'd rather book through my agent instead of myself, you can contact Dave with A-List Entertainment or Frank with Continental Agency.
Okay. Do we have their contact information or will you give that to us?
Yes.
All right. We will run it on, if you're interested in contacting Fawn Marie. We're also going to have some pictures up on the site. I've taken plenty of pictures of her. I'll grab some of those. And if you're interested in contacting her through her agent, we'll have that information on the post for this episode, which is episode 30.
All right.
I also have Facebook.
Under Fawn Marie?
Under Fawn Marie.
All right. That's awesome. Everyone's got Facebook.
Yes. Yes,
I do. Excellent. Well, thanks for being on the Fetish Show.
Thank you,
sweetie. Thank you for having
me. You're welcome.
To Fawn Marie for a great interview and for the pictures that we're going to put up on the site. That's important. It's very important. First off, a note, we're running a little late, so we're going to do our tips for models on the next episode. Right? We've got something very important to talk about. Something we talked about in the parking lot over at the Crab Shack the other night.
This is so important.
It is. It's imperative.
And our listeners need to be aware and to be thinking on this.
And to be prepared.
To be prepared.
Yes.
You can tell me.
This is about awareness.
Zombie cars.
Right.
Which means?
In the zombie apocalypse.
Yes.
What kind of car are you going to drive?
To get away from the zombies.
Right.
This is important.
See, the issue that I have is that Princess Zoe believes that zombies can't get through glass.
The issue that I have is this. All you need is a motherfucking car because they're stupid, okay?
They
don't run very fast.
But every zombie movie I've ever seen, they've come through glass. Am I right on this, Vanilla?
Yeah, but if you just have a car. Okay, well, y'all go ahead. What kind of car would you have? What?
I want one of those Brinks trucks.
Like armored?
Yes. That's what I want.
They turn those over, though.
They do?
Yeah. They all get on there and start shoving on the side.
Wow. That's right. See, I want something that moves fast.
So you want like a sports car?
Man, I just want something fast to get the fuck away.
You're going
to
get eaten.
No.
What are you going to do about gas?
What? I don't know.
The trick is to not be in a car at all.
Well, come on, you guys. What are y'all going to drop?
I want a DeLorean with a flux capacitor. And
fuck yes. Holy shit.
Right,
he's he won right
That's
there.
A pretty good...
I quit.
That's a pretty good solution.
That is. Just motherfucking go back into the future.
Right.
Yeah. I just want one faster than anybody else is in here.
That's right, because that's all you got to do is get away so that zombies will get your friends.
In the Walking Dead comic, and I don't know if this is... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry, for me, it's I'm on the opposite team, Because I'm already
You're a zombie?
She's a zombie. Oh,
she's playing for the other team.
So I'm a zombie in my comic book. And
right.
So she just wants everyone to have a motorcycle.
Wow. Like a unicycle. Or one of those.
Yeah, speak up. Come on.
Or one of those old bicycles with the big front wheel and the little bitty back wheel.
A big front.
A penny farthing.
Just saying.
Uh-huh. I just want a car that goes fast.
I'm all about a military Hummer.
That sounds good. I thought about that.
Yeah, I think
probably
I
not
think
easy to break.
Kilt
those
Man
windows.
One though with his.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
I think the trick in the Walking Dead comics, they went to a prison.
What?
And they set up shop in the prison. I thought that was brilliant because the same thing that would keep people in would also keep those zombies out. And you've got supplies there, and you've got the walls and stuff. I think it's brilliant.
We're talking about a car.
I know. I'm saying that the whole premise is blown. You need to find a good, secure location.
Like my house. That's why we have all those trees.
With lots of guns and stuff, which a prison has, and hole up in that shit.
You're getting off the subject. I'm going to give you a horse.
You I'm can saying get a that, car and get to
I'm
my
saying
house.
That, I'm saying when you...
You get a horse and a buggy like the Amish people.
I'm saying that when you run out of gas in your car, I'm going to be sitting pretty in my prison.
All right. Whatever.
Wow.
All right. Next episode, we are going to be talking with Jasmine St. John. We kind of teased
yes,
that.
Yes, we are.
You talked to her.
Oh, I did. Oh,
what do you think about her?
Love her. She's actually in a conference right now where she's speaking, and they're teaching other therapists and people to be aware of the BDSM community. And
right.
So that's really awesome.
Do you know who else is at that conference? I just found out today.
Lilith Gray.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of our former guests on the show.
Yeah.
She's also there. She was talking about that on Facebook.
I saw that.
Yeah, very cool. All right. Well, I would like to thank Summer, our production manager, and Vanilla Wilson, our engineer, and the rest of our staff and everyone who's writing for us.
Yes, sir.
Thank you all very much. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I just want to say that, definitely you just need a car to get away from zombies. And watch out for Canadian geese.
Wow. You can run over those in your car.
I know, right? People just stop for the motherfuckers in the road. I'm like, just keep going. They're going to move. Not zombies. Okay, that's it.
Interesting. All right. Well, this is Dirk Hooper for Princess Zoe. Thanks for listening to The Fetish Show. Until next time, dream hard.
Thanks for listening to The Fetish Show. We are always looking for interviews with kink industry performers or BDSM lifestyle leaders. We review toys, books, and appear at events. If you have fetish news or if you are an erotic artist or writer, then we may be interested in featuring you. Get in touch with us now at info@thefetishshow.com or visit our website, thefetishshow.com.